Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cremery. Thank you for tuning in. An Anchorage lawyer has been implicated as a, quote, cartel attorney working for traffickers who allegedly sent hard drugs from Mexico to Alaska. Federal authorities on Wednesday arrested 44-year-old Justin Facey on charges that he maintained a drug-involved premises and had firearms in connection with drug trafficking. More than 60 people have been indicted as part of a larger conspiracy. Prosecutors have described it as a veritable pipeline of meth, fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine headed to Alaska dealers and ultimately street-level users. According to federal prosecutors' court filings Wednesday, Facey bragged to other lawyers about working for the traffickers and said he'd been able to afford a bigger office. The Alaska Bar Association in February suspended Facey from practicing law in Alaska after numerous complaints. Facey made an initial court appearance in the case on Thursday. An attorney appointed to represent him declined to comment. And a group of about 75 people stood in front of Senator Lisa Murkowski's office in downtown Anchorage yesterday, holding signs. One person carried an Alaska flag. From a distance, it looked like it might have been another protest. And while that wasn't the case, the group streamed into the building with a message from Murkowski.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lisa. Happy birthday.
Murkowski heard the birthday greeting on a Zoom call from her office in Washington, D.C., where her staff had given her flowers, cards, and a cake with candles. Organizers of the Alaska birthday greeting were a mix of Democrats and Republicans. They said they wanted to show their appreciation for Murkowski, who has a reputation for voting independently from her Republican colleagues. Lisa Murkowski turned 68 yesterday. Juneau voters may be asked whether to implement a new seasonal sales tax system next year to take advantage of the 1.7 million summer cruise ship tourism visitors. It would raise sales tax in the summer months and lower them in the winter. Some assembly members say the change would allow residents to exempt food and utilities from local taxes while keeping the city's overall sales tax revenue mostly intact. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
Juneau currently charges 5% in local sales taxes. That's made up of both permanent and temporary taxes that help pay for general government costs, some specific voter-approved projects, and community priorities. But if voters pass the proposed seasonal sales tax system, consumers would instead pay a 7.5% tax in the summer from April through September and a 3.5% tax in the winter from October through March. Neil Steininger proposed the new system alongside two other assembly members. At an Assembly Finance Committee meeting on Wednesday, he said it will help lower the cost of living for Juneauites, while also taking greater advantage of the millions of tourists that come to town.
That just makes the most sense. It's easiest setting the seasons as winter and summer. That's the most kind of logical for what we're trying to accomplish here, which is shifting tax burden between year-round residents and summer visitors.
Steininger says boosting the amount consumers pay in taxes during the summer means the city would take in more money during that period. Then that extra money could be used to offset the cost of exempting food and utilities from taxes. Other Southeast Alaska towns like Ketchikan, Sitka, and Skagway have similar seasonal sales tax structures already in place. The proposal comes as the Assembly looks to increase residential water and sewer rates by 5% annually over the next 5 years. That's to fund critical repairs to the city's water and sewer systems. The proposed food tax exemption would be applied to items under the same definition as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP or food stamps. But unlike SNAP, anyone would be eligible for the tax exemption, regardless of income. Many economists say that taxes on food hit low-income people the hardest. Assemblymember Alicia Huskandes agrees.
At the end of the day, when someone's paying their grocery bill and their utility bills, those are just the real cost of living expenses. That's what it costs to exist in the community.
But not everyone is on board with the idea. Assemblymember Wade Bryson was concerned it would negatively impact local business owners like himself.
One business has many things that service it, and if you raise the cost of every single one of those services, you get a greater increase in cost on that business.
He found a particular issue with how large the tax jump between the seasons would be.
We're going to mess up the tax rate. We're going to make it complicated. We're going to make a burden on the local businesses. So I don't see how raising the cost for 99% of our businesses in our community doesn't have a negative consequence for the cost of living.
Even if the Assembly doesn't move forward with bringing the seasonal sales tax question to voters, a new Juneau advocacy group called the Affordable Juneau Coalition is currently collecting signatures to exempt essential foods and residential utilities from sales tax. But that proposal doesn't have a mechanism for recouping the loss in sales tax revenue to the city's budget, meaning the city would likely have to cut back on spending to make up for the lost revenue. The proposed seasonal rates aren't final. The Assembly has until late July to take public testimony and decide whether to put the question on the ballot. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And a teacher in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley is bringing current glacial outburst flood science to middle schoolers. Students completed projects on the annual flood that came close to inundating Thunder Mountain Middle School last year. KTOO's Alex Solomon shares this story from the classroom.
Thunder Mountain Middle School sits beside the Mendenhall River, which has surged over its banks and devastated homes in the valley over the past 2 years. Eighth grader Vivian Esmail just learned why.
The root problem is, well, it's the Suicide Basin, which is between the Mendenhall Glacier. It's like a little area where water can build up.
She explains that the basin hasn't always filled with water, and the community hasn't always flooded.
And the reason why it formed in the first place is because global warming, as we all know, has been melting down the glaciers.
She describes how rain and glacial meltwater collect in the basin over the spring and summer, causing pressure to build up against the ice.
And then at once, it like can burst through like an entire large amount of water. That's how these floodings are happening and why they're happening yearly.
Esmail learned this in Jess Stanley's earth science class. Most students said they didn't know what a glacial outburst flood was before taking the class.
I came in absolutely clueless. I'm surprised I didn't even know about this stuff in the first place.
Now, they all know about the science behind how it happens and what's being done to protect their school and neighborhoods. The students mapped the river, plotted rainfall and snowpack, and learned about how the melting Mendenhall Glacier affects downstream communities. Local scientists even visited their class and walked them down to the river. Stanley says this was her first year teaching earth science at the middle school. Her goal was to engage the students on a topic that was close to home.
I just wanted to have an opportunity for the kids to learn something place-based, something that's here, right, literally in the backyard of our school.
That approach to teaching about the climate has clearly made an impression on the students. Allie Simonson is a seventh grader in the class.
I think it's really cool we get to learn about something that's, like, happening right now, because in school, usually you learn about stuff that's, like, going to happen in the future or happened in the past.
Now, when the students gaze out the big picture window in the school's common area, they see bulldozers and a huge pile of sand by the river. The city is extending the levee further downstream to protect their school, along with several businesses and homes, from possible floods that could be higher than those in the past. Stanley says a row of trees is getting chopped down near the track, and a gravel road has gone in for heavy machines to build the HESCO barriers that make up the levee. Ryder McMillan, an eighth grader, says the class learned about that project, too.
We talked a lot about HESCO barriers and how they're being built, and the most interesting fact that I learned was that they're really expensive to build, and you wouldn't assume that because you think they're just like little green blocks with a bunch of sand in them.
In their notebooks, the students have sketched HESCO barriers, including the small outflow pipes to drain rainwater. They've also written their lingering questions about glacial outburst flooding, some that adults don't have answers to yet. Here's Esmail again.
Nobody really knows what we're going to do to permanently fix the solution with the Suicide Basin flooding yet. Of course, we have those HESCO barriers up, but besides that, people are still working on it. People are still making ideas, and that's going to take a while.
In the meantime, Esmail says to try to prepare for floods as much as possible. The students are taking what they've learned beyond the classroom. They're making posters about how Valley residents can prepare for floods, featuring QR codes that link to more information. They plan to tack them up around town this summer. The kids say to pack an emergency kit, sign up for the city's emergency alerts, and when the floodwater comes, don't swim in it. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And the cruise line industry is suing Skagway over a new policy that makes a controversial change to how the borough taxes excursions sold by cruise companies. The Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt has a story.
Skagway charges local sales tax on the cost of tours that start and finish in the borough. Historically, that's excluded commission fees that cruise lines slap on top of tour prices in exchange for arranging the excursion. Until now. Skagway this year approved an ordinance that would tweak its tax code to collect taxes on the full price that tourists pay, including the commission. The borough said at the time that the aim was to tax all tours consistently, regardless of whether they're booked in Skagway, online, or from a different location. but the industry says the ordinance violates both state and federal law. The Cruise Line International Association, one of the industry's largest trade groups, filed a lawsuit against the borough in Alaska State Court over the issue earlier this month. Skagway's borough manager and treasurer are also named as defendants in the suit.
And under Alaska law, we believe that the Skagway ordinance is illegal. It's not appropriate and it should be reversed.
That's Stephen Mahoney. He's an Anchorage-based tax attorney who is not involved in the litigation. But when asked for comment, the industry group referred KH&S to him. He says the lawsuit is rooted in Skagway's attempt to tax the industry's commission fees, even on tours that are booked from other locations. A European customer could, for instance, purchase a Skagway kayaking tour online from Europe. The Skagway ordinance would tax the commission fee on that sale, even though neither the transaction nor the service of booking the tour happened in Skagway.
So the person who sat in their office, made all the arrangements, made sure the communications occurred, made sure the company understood what was going on, the little bit of margin they take there is now subject to sales tax. And that's problematic. And that's what this lawsuit is about.
The industry group's lawsuit requests compensation for its legal fees and that the ordinance be lifted, among other things. In Skagway, the ordinance has been met with widespread support. Deb Potter, a Skagway Assembly member, welcomed the move at a December meeting.
I think this is great work on the part of our staff to modernize and streamline a way of collecting sales tax from tours that better reflects a modern day tourist.
At least one resident who spoke in favor of the change at the December meeting also emphasized that the multi-billion dollar industry has deep pockets. She added that cruise lines have a responsibility to support the small community, which hosted more than 1.2 million cruise passengers last year. Skagway's borough manager did not respond to multiple requests for comment. In Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And as for the weather, it's currently 56 degrees. There's sporadic rain this afternoon, which may increase overnight. Tomorrow night looks like it'll be rainy. Going into Sunday, with temperatures between the mid-40s and the low 50s. You're listening to KTOO.